How are you? How are things?
Fantastic.
Is that a different couch behind you?
It's a lack of couch.
Oh, it's I see. You were blocking part of it. It could have been a couch.
Could have been a couch. Nope. It's just the chair. I got rid of my couch and have got nothing to replace it yet. Last episode, I think you were saying, spend 2 hours, go to a store, get a couch. That motivated me to get rid of my couch. So I'm halfway there, man.
All right. Call that progress, I guess.
What happened was I spotted a couple of chairs that I fell in love with. From like the 70s, some furniture design, I don't know designer guys, but some guy named R. Huber, like a Canadian furniture designer, famous for neat shapes, very 60s, 70s kind of shapes. The thing you would think of is that's a chair from space age, right? Spotted them, pair of them for sale, a couple hours out of the city. I'm like, those are the chairs. I found it. Couch be gone. Immediately got rid of my couch. Raced over to the store, sat down in the chairs, like, these chairs are too good. These chairs are almost too perfect. They will lead to inevitable disappointment. I have a philosophy called the medium towel. I'm like, these chairs are too good. They're only going to make me unhappy later. What I hadn't looked at was the cost of the chairs. $12,500 each. $12,500. It's $25,000 to get two. I'm like,
but those are only Canadian dollars, so
right. Which I know is like you didn't think Canadian dollars would go that high, but like I'm well employed, I own business, I could be the kind of guy who goes and buys $25,000 pair of chairs, but I couldn't be the kind of guy who does it and then likes what he sees in the mirror. So now I have no couch and no chairs, and the memory of sitting in the perfect chair that can now haunt me forever.
I see,
and that's where I am at the moment.
I see.
Wait, thank you for motivating me to get rid of my couch. Okay, that was great. That was great. This has ended really well for me.
This ridiculous twist of events in your life is my fault.
Apparently. Okay. Apparently, yes.
Well, lucky you have anywhere to sit.
I have the floor. So I now have one chair. I'm the owner of a chair. So I'm not just a minimalist. I'm the sort of person who's clearly saying, I don't want guests. Go sit on the counter. I don't even have a poof. I have nothing. I have a chair and a record player.
I see. Is that some bed bug infested chair you got up off the street?
No, this is a lovely. I loved my orange and brown funky 70s chair. It's uncomfortable, but I love the look of it. So now I sit in my lovely looking uncomfortable chair and I listen to my records and I think I'm making good choices in life.
You are likely to be. A group. If this predicament seems particularly cruel, consider whose fault it could be. Now the torture of a match in your inventory. You are likely to be eaten by a group. If this predicament seems particularly cruel, consider whose fault it could be. Now the torture of a match in your inventory.
So how are you?
I am well, thank you.
Have you got any more animals since as I'm getting rid of furniture? Are you collecting animals? Do you have like an emu?
No, we still two dogs, two cats, two turtles, and that lizard.
Yeah. So you need another lizard to balance things out.
No, I don't think so. I think that you are wrong, and that you should have a lizard perhaps
to sit on a big comfy lizard.
Go sit on your suspended box if you need a place to sit.
Yeah. Sit on the cage.
Yeah. Cool. Now that the furniture talk is done, should we read some mail? Do you think?
Is that how our podcast is now? Those are the sections, furniture talk and then mail and then game and then spoiler fence and maybe a little bit more furniture. I like it. I like how we're slowly evolving. This podcast is great. It's great. We did get mail.
Sitting with Carrington.
One of you on the floor sitting near Carrington.
Sitting on the counter with their legs dangling.
we got an email from Arthur. He's the young fellow who's making the IF code library. And we got everything wrong. Got everything wrong. He says, I found that in the episode where you read my letter. Well, you said it was called Averse AB Fun. It's not, though. It's called Tapy, or Tappy, T-A-P-Y. Averse A B Fun is my username. Whoops. I've been on GitHub before, but I went on GitHub again, and now it looks like it's called if.js. So things are changing. Things are in flux with Arthur's life. I don't know. He's doing things. I'm sitting here with no furniture, so I can't judge. Sure. And then he says, and then secondly, I made an interactive fiction / choose your own adventure story as well as a web page and simultaneously made a JS library for making them. It was actually a school project. I just took it further than expected. And they gave us links, which we'll throw in the show notes, to vote the game, which is called To the Moon and Beyond. It's got a cool choose your own adventure cover, and then the library itself, which I think is now just called if.js on GitHub. And he says, I've now listened to every single episode, some of them multiple times, and although I listened to them while falling asleep, so I rarely reach the spoiler fence. Which is great. I also play both Violet, cheating with the in-game hints a lot, and beat it. Well, you just told us you cheated, Arthur, so okay. And I'm working my way on 16 ways to kill a vampire at McDonald's. Excited for the next episode. Then I think he wrote us later that he's finished 16 ways to kill a vampire, so Arthur is catching up.
Good for you, Arthur.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He's doing things. We're not. Want to read one, or should I read more?
Sure, I'll read one.
Do it. What do you got?
Jay, I don't think we've read this one before. I didn't. Usually I do the little uncheck after we read something. Jay Compton's telling us how to live our lives. says, I think sticking with the old games is the better move for the podcast. People who liked following you through the Infocom will enjoy hearing you explore the vaguely Infocom adjacent world of magnetic scrolls, level 9, BTC, and so forth. Please. Plus, you don't have to worry about hurting anybody's feelings if you don't like the game. Scott Adams.
That's a good point. Dead,
but he's pretty chill. You can be mad all you want about Adventureland, and I'm sure it's fine.
So, the first one's less of an important argument, because at the end of the day, Kay and I aren't making money off this thing. We're just playing games, docket
links. We're not making money. We're not making friends.
I'm not making friends with my big negative reviews. Oh, so un-Canadian. I like the old stuff too. I like new stuff. I like all the stuff. I like all the stuff. I don't own any of the stuff, but I like the stuff.
Read another one.
I will read one. We got a neat one from Piero. It says, I thought you might appreciate this review for Hollywood Hijinks. I found looking through an old computer magazine today. The magazine is the September 1987 issue of Computing with the Amstrad for the Amstrad CPC range of 8-bit computers, popular here in Europe in the 1980s. Probably the only time I've ever seen a game receive a completely perfect score. And in the review, which was a glowing review, they gave them 100% for presentation, atmosphere, frustration factor, value for money, and overall. Like those are the things you rated on. 100% across the board. That's a pretty nice review. I bet the Infocom guys were very happy to get that. He says, all the best to you both from Northampton in the UK, the home of graphic novel author Alan Moore, and me. I read the review. Nice. I liked it. I love Hollywood Hijinks. That's a great game.
It was a great game. A great game. It was a very nice review. I felt like the review maybe gave, I mean, you got to fill 1,000 words or whatever, but I felt like it maybe gave away more than I would have wanted given away.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, but right now, though, if you read it, I don't think. But at the time.
Right. No, more at the time.
Also, that was one of the ones that had feelies I really liked. I liked the feelies in that. There was that swizzle stick shaped like a palm tree, and it's just really, really good feelies in that one.
Mm-hmm.
The game, not the review.
Norman Davey said, both of you rated, subject line, Violet, both of you rated this game so highly and stated it was a quick playthrough, I had to stop the podcast at the spoiler fence and play it online. Well
good
done,
for you. Norman. Yes, I applaud that.
He said, it was so worth it, such a unique game, and provided so many ways to relieve yourself in the game. I don't think this is spoilers. The bottle, the wastebasket, or in my case, the cactus.
Oh, good one.
Probably kills the cactus. I mean, goodness, I don't know. Now I have to stop procrastinating on writing my own text adventure.
Procrastinating.
Davey, a.k.a. Tech Cowboy in Prince Edward Island, Canada.
Ooh, excellent. Hooray for Canada. That's the prettiest part of Canada, I think.
Is it?
Well, East Coast. I mean, East Coast. East Coast is pretty, but the winters are terrible, so I'll admire them from afar.
And they all speak French, right?
They do not. It's past the French. If you go east for where I am, it suddenly becomes French, and then it becomes not French again.
Oh, I didn't know about the not French part.
Canada just keeps going. Canada is so much more than you think. We just go and go and go.
Nice.
Woodard Wall wrote in to say, hi, guys. He's written a bunch of times. I think I'm pronouncing his name wrong. Oh, well, sorry. After the last email, I fired up Violet. And yes, it's great. I love it. Got to the point where I knew I had to do a spoilery thing, which I won't say. Could not figure out how to do it. I walked away for a bit and, yeah, procrastination. So there. I got... The theme of Violet is procrastination. So I got hooked on this text game thing by seeing some version of Adventure running on the TRS-80 in the computer shop on the Cape Town foreshore. But it had dwarves throwing axes and twisty passages, so I think it was Colossal Cave and not Adventureland. I did finally play Adventureland and Pirate Island on my Apple, but that was after I had exposure to Infocom, so I found it severely limited. I do think I finished Pirate Adventure. We'll maybe remember one or two others if I played them again. So... because we are going eventually into Adventureland. We're just taking a quick detour here to talk about a totally different game made by Kay.
You finished Adventureland, and I have.
I have finished Adventureland. It doesn't actually take that long, Kay.
Okay. All right. I'll work on it this weekend.
For those of us who don't have anything else to do, we don't have families and 2,000 pets and learning instruments. For those of us who just sit in our sad little empty houses, Adventureland doesn't take that long.
See how it is. Okay, that seems like a good.
No, I want to read the one from.
Read it.
Was it Kyra or Kira? I'm going to say Kyra, and I apologize if I'm wrong because this is the best email. Where was it? Hello, Kay and Carrington. I hope that all is well by you. I've long adored the podcast. I played pretty much all of the Infocom games in my youth. Son, Ballyhoo. I fell victim to the lost treasures of Infocom collection, not including all of its feelies. So I couldn't even really start in the days when I couldn't look it up easily. And I was delighted to revisit them all with you. That said, I usually leap past the spoiler balustrade with you as I figure I've played the older games. And for the newer ones, I figured I probably wouldn't. However, your description of Violet pulled me in. So as the spoiler fence exactly coincided with the end of my commute, I paused, downloaded the game, and definitely didn't play it all during work hours. The time came to restart the podcast, and I, as someone who's extremely accustomed to finding very odd ways to lose games, was surprised that you had only found the one. Here are several ways I found myself in a losing state. Then she gave us a bunch, very funny, but they're spoilery, but great. I'd be curious to know if there are more, and if you've been inundated with emails about various other failures. Then at least I would know I was among many seasoned losers of interactive fiction, a delightful comfort. And as an aside, sorry, no, we weren't. It's just you. So thank you for rekindling a love of actually playing the game. Up next, Counterfeit Monkey, and of course, Dorm, which has languished as an open tab in my browser since its premiere. Can't wait to continue listening, and I feel positively spoiled for having had two episodes within a month. You are very missed in your absences. Also, thanks for the tip on the 50 years of text games. I definitely got into that Kickstarter as a result of listening, and I love it. Excuse my verbosity. I simply can't help typing verbose. All the best. And then there's a PS, which is great. It's not on your game randomizer, and I've never heard it mentioned on the podcast, but I want to mention Steve Moretzky's spellcasting series, specifically Spellcasting 101, Sorcerers Get All the Girls. These are not wildly celebrated that I'm aware of. I never even heard of this. But they were absurdly formative for me, and I'm a fan of Moretzky all around. Me too. They're, well, let's just say they have a naughty mode, which at my age in the early 90s, I had no right using, but of course I did. I had already played Leather Goddesses, so it was the next developmental step. More importantly, Spellcasting 101, the best of them, I feel. 201 was still fairly enjoyable, but had a worse timer to run up against. The 301 exists as my favorite puzzle island of all time. The ill-loved, by everyone but me apparently, Isle of Lost Souls, where you have to solve 80 absurd name puns that I love with such deep ferocity. I've actually made every one of my romantic partners play through that island with mixed results. Clearly, I'm a delight to be with. Anyway, despite the graphics, mostly just a still image for each location and a compass rose, I consider it one of my favorite text games, and I'm constantly getting weird looks from people when I include it on my games that will help you understand who I am as a person list. And then she types brief. Fantastic, and what a recommendation for Spellcasting 101. So I want to add that to our list because I have put it on the
game right
now. I am super interested in playing that now because Moretzky, hooray, and Spell Stuff, hooray. And then we get to know more about one of our listeners. I love the idea of making a romantic partner play through a game for you to know me and for me to judge you. You must play this game before our date. I love that idea.
Yeah, that's a gray flag for sure. I don't know.
No way. That is green all the way, man. I like it. So, anyway.
Nice. Well,
Kate disagrees.
Nice. Thank you for the letter, Kira. I've put your recommendation on the list.
Everybody should always give us a pronunciation guide. Even if your name is like Doug, I'm always going to second guess that your name is Duog.
It's Douge.
Right, yeah. Exactly. I always feel bad. Because as somebody whose name is Carrington Whitfield Vanston, it goes on and on and on. Nobody can understand my name when they ask me on the phone. What's your name? Carrington. And then people listen and they wait. Carrington. I have to pronounce it so many times on the phone. Partly because I mumble and partly because it's too many letters.
Like the solar phenomena?
Yes. Like the solar phenomena. Mm. Carrington event all day long, baby. So shall we talk about
game? I have one other bit of housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Some months ago, I don't remember why, Rick, we had been talking about Infocom's Cornerstone, and that, anyway, there was some piece of the documentation that had never been scanned and put online, and Rick Reynolds, listener extraordinaire, lent me the Cornerstone Beginner's Guide, which is a thick book of documentation for that program, and he also lent me the Cornerstone How to Get Started manual, which is a very thin book, and I got them both scanned, and they are both up on Internet Archive. So if you've been dying to learn how to begin to use Cornerstone, you can finally learn how.
Are there any spoilers for the Cornerstone game in it?
It's not a very good game. And no spoilers.
No.
Okay, sorry.
That's cool. Nice.
Okay, so here's why I called us together today, Carrington.
Mm-hmm.
Have I talked about Nano Genmo?
I had never heard of Nano. I'd heard of NaNoWriMo. A lot of people know that one. National Novel Writing Month, which is November of every year, where you try to pump out 50,000 word draft of a novel.
Write a 50,000 word novel in November in
30 days. Go.
Yeah, in 30 days. And this is a thing, NaNoWriMo, began in 1999. It's been around for quite a while now. I didn't know. I thought it was just like...
So people have no excuse to have not written 24 novels.
Right, absolutely. It's a nonprofit. This is like a whole thing. I didn't realize it was like a whole organization. But they've been around for a while, and they encourage people to use November to write a novel, and people do it. And it's just like, it might not be a good novel, but you can call yourself a novelist at the end, you know, if you've done it.
And you can get through that first draft, like get it out and then polish. And,
right. Right. So that began in 1999. And in years later, in 2013, an internet denizen named Darius Kazemi tweeted out kind of as a joke, "Hey, who wants to join me in Nano Genmo? Spend the month writing code that generates a 50,000 word novel. Share the novel and the code at the end." So his silly idea was to, instead of doing all that work of writing a novel in November, write code to write a novel, right? And people ran with it and started Nano Genmo, which has been going, I think I said, since 2013. And this is something that I only discovered in a few years ago in 2020. And I've been participating in it every year since. And there are really no rules. The only rule is you post your novel at the end and you post your code. And there's literally no rules. Half the stuff, most of the stuff I've done aren't even novels. They don't care if you write a basic program to print the word eggplant. Someone did the word meow 50,000 times. It was the word meow 50,000 times. That was their novel.
Like a cat novel.
Yeah, a cat novel. You it's legit. There's no rules. There's no judging. It's just
there's judging. There's got to be judging.
Sure.
Right. I'm judging.
There's no awards.
Oh, I see. Right. Cool. Mm-hmm. And so you have done this before. I didn't know about this at all. And you've decided to do it this year. And you created a thing along with ChatGPT called Fifi's Big Adventure. Because out of nowhere, you suddenly email me, boom, I've got this giant, enormous game. I'm like, what is part of NanoGen Mode? I'm like, what is any of this? How did you dump this on me out of nowhere? And the thing is enormous. I was like, what? How are you giving me this giant 50,000 word game? Crazy. So it's a choose your own adventure game called Fifi's Big Adventure that I have now played through and we will now discuss.
Great. Awesome. So yeah, Fifi's Big Adventure is a choose your own adventure book. It's really one very long HTML file that you can click to change pages, and in which you are a dog walker attempting to walk a dog and run a couple of errands for the dog's owner.
It's simple and, premise. You're right. Walk the dog. Mm-hmm. Try to get through that, and also pick up dry cleaning and. Tickets for the dry cleaning, and the other one was pick up flowers. Dry cleaning, get a bouquet of flowers, walk the dog, get back, try to accomplish that.
Yeah, and kind of explore the city and... Mm-hmm.
Hang out with the dog. The dog is very cute.
Hang out with the dog. Now, I've done NanoGenMo a few times, but this is the first time that AI, writing things like ChatGPT have existed, since... This is the first November that's happened. So, I mean, people use all sorts of different bespoke tools to write their books, but I'm like, well, I'm going to use this new thing. So I didn't write a word of this book.
Interesting.
ChatGPT.
I was going to ask you, how much was you and how much was
I did not write a single word. And also, I didn't write most of the code.
And yet, if I look at the cover page, it says it's by Kay Savitz. First billing and ChatGPT.
Sure.
I was the project manager.
Okay. I was the project manager, and therefore I get first billing.
Is that how that works? Okay, good. Editors don't get top billing on the front of a. I don't know. Okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah. So I feel like without me, this project would not have gone anywhere. I mean, ChatGPT
almost certainly. I mean, by a couple years from now, I'm sure ChatGPT will just get bored and start doing this stuff on its own. It'll just enter NanoGenMo and go, I knocked one out. I will say that you sent this to me. I think the files are dated. You got to do this in 30 days. People struggle like crazy in NaNoWriMo to pump out enough text and really push themselves to write 50,000 words in 30 days. You sent me files dated October 29th. It took you minus 2 days, Mr. Top Billing.
I was trying to think of, I got inspired, and you do it when you have inspiration and when you have the time. And like I said, with this contest, there are no rules and no one is going to disqualify me because it doesn't matter.
You won't get your award.
So yes, I actually did this before November even started. I'm a fraud.
Or you're 11 months late on the last one.
Right. But also, I mean, I don't know. Part of what I was hoping is that we're going to record this today and you're going to put this episode out soon. And there will still be plenty of November left. And if anybody is inspired to make their – anybody who nice hears point. This is inspired to make their own NanoGenMo, then go for it because there's still plenty of November. And you can follow the rules and do it in November. And not be a scofflaw like me.
Scofflaw's a great name. So the pages are relatively small. Like the pages in the book are small, but they are numerous. Like when you start the game, it says like to get started, go to page 5019, which is not even halfway point. The pages are numbered from 1 to 19,829. It's an almost 20,000 page book.
But they're not consecutively numbered because of reasons. There's a lot of blank or missing pages.
Okay.
So
there's and a lot of pages are which we can get into past the spoiler fest. There's a lot of pages that are very similar to other pages because you have to read because it's static HTML, but you have a changing state. Like you might have different inventory items. You may have the flowers. You may not have the flowers. You might have money. You might not have money. Various things. And so each room I see has to be included multiple times for every combination of inventory that you might have when you enter it. So when you enter the room, if you happen to have the dog and money, this is the text you see. If you happen to not have the dog, but you've got the dry cleaning, but then you see this. And so the same pages, which are very similar, have to get repeated a lot. Thus, you end up with 20,000 pages.
There's 18 versions of every room.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, yeah. Yeah, and I was kind of inspired by that book that we read and talked about earlier this year, Jason Shiga's Leviathan,
right?
In which is a graphic comic book choose an adventure sort of thing, but there's state in that. The one I can remember is there's night and day.
Night and day state, yeah.
Yeah, and so I tried to do that with having, you know, can you have a choose your own adventure book in which inventory, and not like sloppy, like if you have the ticket, go to page. What I didn't want to do that. I just wanted it to know.
And you're not using anything to generate stuff on the fly. Like there's no JavaScript or anything here, because you could have done it instead. You go to this room and it displays your things and written more like a game. But then that, I think, would be more like a game versus a choose your own adventure novel. And the idea here is this is supposed to be a book. It does make more sense, I think, that it is a statically generated page. It's HTML, but it's just static text with hyperlinks. So I think that is legitimately a novel thing. I shrunk my browser window down because since the rooms are relatively small text-wise, sometimes they're just a few sentences, I didn't want to accidentally see, there's like 12 spaces or so between each room, but I didn't want to see rooms below me because I'd accidentally cheat. I only like to cheat on purpose, baby. I like to cheat with intent. So I shrunk my page down. It did work. I've got two things that might be bugs. We'll talk about later at the support defense.
Okay.
Probably not, because I've yet to find a bug, so of course it's not. But we'll see. But it did work perfectly for me. Like I played through twice. I was able to move around. I made a little map. All the links worked. I never like encountered someone who was like, this is great. And you'd go back to the same room. I'm like, but now I've got my inventory. I did cheat kind of in that since it is standard hyperlinks, their color changes based on whether you've been there before or not. So what's interesting is, like, let's say you're walking south and you click the go south link. And so it says go to page 6,080 or whatever. So you go south and then there'll always be a link to like go back north, like go back to where you were. And that should be you're returning to a room you've been to before. But if you go to a room and you see the step back is not colored, I'm like, oh, something's just changed. I've obviously got inventory loose because my state has changed because my links to where I were are no longer links that I've previously visited. So
interesting.
I'm sneaky that way. I cheat even when I try not to. I'm just so good at cheating.
There is a, there's no art in the book except for the cover image, which was
did you make the cover image or was that also generated?
Also generated.
By that person who gets second billing generated that art?
By ChatGPT. Whatever. Yeah. It did the art, and also there's a map which is optional. I don't know if you use that, but there's a map.
I looked at the map only after the fact. I found the game can be completely played without looking at the map. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yep.
And that was also generated by ChatGPT. So yeah, I just tried to use that tool as much as possible.
It's fun. The city is laid out kind of like New York. It's a grid city with avenues which are numbered 1 through 10. And then the east-west roads, some of which are also avenues, but they're alphabetical and they're named after dogs. So there's like Collie Crescent and Foxhound Fairway and stuff, which are from Irish Center Isle. So you get A through J from I remember Jack Russell Junction was the last one. What's the A was a dog I didn't know.
Was it Akita?
Look it up. Akita, yeah. It's a. I guess I don't know dogs.
Akita, yeah.
I didn't know that an Akita was a dog. So I didn't realize that when I played the game the first time, you step out of Fifi's person's place. I like that it's Fifi's person, which is great. And you're on Akita Avenue. But I didn't realize that these are named after dogs. I was thinking it was just a thing. And then it went south to Beagle Boulevard. And I'm like, oh, I get what's going on here. I sussed it out.
So, I created this game with ChatGPT over the course of 4 or 5 days. And
Quick.
You can get into that programming mode where you're just like obsessed with your programming project and you can't do anything else. I mean, this is all I did for 4 or 5 days. I didn't work. I didn't you know, I mean, I walked the dogs and like got back. I was like stuck. I was so happy to be done with it because I had a life to live.
But I love that though. That's one of the joys of programming.
I'm probably very hungry at that
point. I'm just abandoning my family. I'm abusing my children, but at least I got this game out. That has no rewards.
I really leaned on ChatGPT for all the ideas. I'm just like, I knew I wanted to have dog-themed street names. So I'm just like, give me a list of dog-themed street names, you know, A through J or whatever. And it did. And some of them I didn't like. It had like Eskimo Esplanade or something. I'm like, I don't, yeah, that's a dog, but I didn't want to do that. So I was like, give me another one. And so give me a list. So we, you know, we kind of collaborated. This is really a collaboration between peers, you know, and
it's so weird how we now live in a time where people do the stuff that when I was a kid and they were doing science fiction and some guy would just be in a chair creating a computer program and say, give me a list of this, what's that, and make this, and you just describe it and it would happen. And I was like, well, that's so silly, because that's not how ever going to happen. But now it just does. And you end up with Fifi's Big Adventure. It's crazy that you just kind of describe that and just say, give me a list of names, do this, make the, and that you get a 20,000 page choose your adventure novel where you didn't write any of the text.
Right. I didn't write a thing of it. And I was just like, okay, well, I had the city. I wanted to populate it with, there's like 20 locations that you can enter within the city. For, you know, various shops.
Yeah, you've got your grid, which is like 10 by 10, so you get like 100 locations out in the street. And then I knew there were, and there's a whole bunch of places, the library and fountain and dog park and stuff, that you can enter those. So there's a lot of locations in this game.
Yeah, 120 locations total. And so I was just like, I asked it, like, give me ideas of locations. And some of them were so good. I mean, it would be like, there should be a skate park and this thing can happen at the skate park. I'm like, love it. You know, let's do that. And some of them I didn't like it. You know, it suggested like a record shop or a bookshop. I'm like, no, I don't want those for various reasons.
Did it recommend the retro arcade or did you come up with that? My goodness. What?
And then it came up with the joke that happens inside the retro arcade.
Really?
And and then for one of them, it recommended a candle shop. And I'm like, that's not interesting to me on its face. But it came up with, in one breath, the joke that happens in the candle shop when you have Fifi. And I'll just say it. It says, there could be a candle shop and there can be a bacon-scented candle that interests the dog. And I'm just like, brilliant. I love it. You know, on its own, I wouldn't have done candle shop, but like, I love the gag. And so, you know, we did it.
That's crazy. Did you, so it's so much text generated by the computer. Did you check it for plagiarism?
No, I didn't.
If you would find out like, oh my gosh, here's a sentence taken from something else.
At no point did I feel anything was...
Oh, me neither.
I didn't feel plagiarized.
Just wasn't sure if that's a thing that you have to look for, that your ChatGPT will like, oh, I've got this great idea, and take it wholesale from some existing novel. Well, I don't know.
No, I mean, because it was so tuned to what I asked it to do. Mm. You know, I would say, I need 50 descriptions of things that happen when you have the dog, or I need 50 descriptions of things that happen when you're looking for the dog. And it gave me that stuff, and it was just like so tuned. I'm like, man, if there's already a book out there that it plagiarized from these ideas, then I'm the plagiarist, not right. Not
So I played through. I got the good ending. I intentionally then after that got a couple of bad endings, because you want to know, like, well, what will happen? What will happen if I just immediately go right back in? I've done nothing. Like, what will happen?
I did that for you because I know you like to lose as quickly as possible.
I was like, I think I can lose this game in literally one move. Go. I'm back. I did nothing. I'm like, yep, you lose because you're back and you did nothing. I'm like, yes, excellent. I just wanted to see, like, well, what happens if you go back in and you don't complete all your tasks or whatever? Just like, have you handled it? And it totally handled it. You get an ending that is like, either bad or kind of okay, but it's like, well, you didn't do everything I asked you to do, but fine, I'm glad the dog's back or whatever. So handled all of that stuff. So it's cool.
Yeah. But I mean, if you come back without the dog, I mean.
But then, yeah, then you get that's when you get the bad ending. I found Fifi quite charming. I liked the dog. I guess because you're walking a dog and having a good time and you're liking the dog, and then later you're, I guess not spoiler, you kind of lose the dog for a while, so you're missing the dog. And I was like missing the dog. I was like, I gotta get Fifi. Everyone liked Fifi. Fifi, you go in the bakery, go to all these things, and it was like, you know, Fifi's having a good day, and I just wanted to be part of that. So I liked Fifi as a character.
Good. Excellent. Was the game fun? I mean, I tried to make a, was it okay?
Yes. I found it checked the boxes off for both for game, because I had tasks I had to do and I knew I had to do them. We'll talk after the spoiler fence. You lose an inventory item, and I was able to deduce where I would find that inventory item. I didn't just walk around randomly. I thought about it and said, it's going to be here. Which also confused me, because you're given like a clue when you lose the item. And I was like, that clue seems to be wrong. It's telling me something that I think is inaccurate, and it is inaccurate. I'm like, is Kate trying to mess with me or what? So I want to talk about that.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about, and I did a lot of research to try to figure. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. So, but like, it's not just walk around randomly, try to like hope you find the right inventory item or whatever. Like, you're able to think. And there's even a place where you can get hints, which is great. There's one location with a very wise person who is musical and has a beard. And I want to like, okay, are you putting yourself in this game? But he's got like a massive long beard. But I'm like, okay, the wise, all-knowing person who is also musical. It's like, okay, whatever. There's no quippy bald guy in a corner, I'm telling you. But like, so there's no me. But I like that. Like, there's a place you can get hints if you get stuck. And like, so yeah, it's doing all the game things.
Having a hint system
in the game. Absolutely is like contextual hint based on like what state you're currently in, and we'll say a little rhyme to give you a little nudge. I'm like, it's a game, but it's keeping state and all that, which I liked. The story itself is not like, if this was an actual just sit down read it novel, there's not a ton of story to it. I wouldn't say it's like, oh my gosh, the greatest literature. There's like not enough an arc to it, but from a game standpoint, it 100%, it feels like a point and click game or a text adventure, just in static pages. It's a full on choose your own adventure game. So I dug it.
Cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I was impressed with the size of it, man. I can't believe a lot of the
Nano Genmo things, don't make sense. I mean, you know, it's like it ends up turning out nonsense. It's a Markov chain, you know, that's funny. Right.
This is incomparably better than at 50,000 pages of the word meow. Like, a lot of, I can imagine a lot of generated things which are technically 50,000 words of text, but 50,000 words of text doesn't make a novel. A novel requires a story, a character, but like, there's things. So I dug that.
Okay. Good. Excellent. Okay.
The other stuff I want to talk about, I'm looking through my notes. I think we have to go spoilery.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to talk about the ending thing. I want to talk about the two maybe bugs I found. I want to talk about the hit guy. I want to talk about, all the rest of this is all spoilery.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. This is just,
it doesn't take that long for people that want to play it. This is not a big commitment.
The two other, I gave it to two testers before I sent it to you, and both of them used the map and responded.
Really?
They finished the game in under half an hour.
I didn't use the map.
I asked you not to use the map. I kind of suggested that you don't. And how long did it take you?
A little over half an hour, I think. It definitely doesn't take an hour too. You're just like, I think it depends on how quick you read. But I took a big pause. I think you could do this game in 10 minutes. Like, it doesn't, you're not clicking that many, as long as you know what to do. I could redo it now, because I could, now you know what to do. You can like, just like a proper game, there is a way I can go through, now I know what I could do. I could boom, 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 go here. I could solve the game. I could do this in like 50 clicks or whatever. But even the first time through it, somewhere half an hour, 45 minutes maybe, with a break for tea. Like, it's not a huge commitment. If you're a very slow reader, that's because it comes, how quickly can you read this many words?
Right.
Yeah. It's just a reading thing. I got the good ending.
Good job. But before we go to the spoiler fence, I'm glad I was able to create. I mean, I was trying to do it within the confines of the Nano Genmo, whatever. And you know, I just wanted to create something that made sense and you know was semi fun. So I feel like I succeeded in that. Before we go to the spoiler fence, I would like to talk about some of the other, briefly talk about the other people's entries over the last couple of years that I have particularly liked in Nano Genmo, because it's not just.
And are they things that are available? Can we put links online to them?
Yeah. Their links will be there. They're already in the show notes. Awesome. So just three of the ones that I've particularly enjoyed in the last few years. Remember that Windows 95, I think it was 95 game, Ski Free? It's a little game where you're just skiing down a mountain.
No, because like when Windows 95 was a thing, I had like drunk the Mac Kool-Aid. And so I was like, I'm going to touch Windows 95. Yeah. I'm going to be Mac guy. Right.
Yeah. Well, there was a game called Ski Free.
Look at my furniture. I don't make great choices.
It's a simple avoid the objects game. You know, you're going down a mountain or whatever. Okay. So
I understand what skiing is.
Yes. Someone did Ski Free, but it's a survival horror novel. And basically they took a log of a playthrough of this Ski Free game and turned it into text.
Hilarious.
And it's just like... let me find one of the later versions here. The snow is infinite. No time to shiver. Was that ski lift there before? And was it empty? If I close my eyes, I'll crash. I must have been out here something like 2.39.64 seconds. Snow like static here. No time to shiver. I've gone 1,705 meters now. The snow seems denser here. Deep like quicksand.
That's hilarious.
Another one I really liked, you might want to click the link and look at this one, Carrington, scroll down the show notes. It's called The Botanical Codex of Althaca, and it is combined different algorithms and transformer models to generate a book with botanical illustrations of species of flowers that don't exist, alongside text written in a newly generated font/script type.
Oh my gosh.
And so this book is a bunch of beautiful pictures of not real flowers and descriptions of the flowers written in a nonsensical language. But all of the language is it's like a cryptogram or something. It's a real text that describes the flower. And they're just beautiful.
It's great, because you look at it and you think, like, as soon as I look at the symbols for the text, you think, you see enough repeating. Like, yeah, these are standing for letters or groups of letters or words or whatever. Like, this would be a solvable thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he gives examples. I mean, it says, like, flower shape is pepulated white sepals surrounding to black lobes around petals with small black gray winking patches. So it describes the flower and then shows the flower, and they're beautiful. And
this is the kind of thing that you do, don't tell anybody about Barry, and then people find it in the future and are like, what was going on? What is this an archive of?
Another one someone else did was an AI watches and describes the individual frames of music videos and songs you remember in autobiographical order. And so this thing just looked at frames of music videos and describes them.
Oh, it's like it reads like a poem.
Yeah, read one. Read it.
Window, building, indoor, wall, a man looking into a door, a person standing in a doorway, monochrome photography, door, human face, black and white, clothing, snapshot, photograph, woman, a person sitting on a couch. I have been to so many poetry slams where I've sat and listened to the same stuff. I'm like, does this mean anything? What's happening? I wrote a poem once called The Beat Frogs. That made fun of the audience. It was a whole bunch of text notes, and you had to change it based on the people you're seeing as you read the poem out to mock the audience to see how far you can get into it before they turn on you. And it didn't go over well at all.
So, Anyway, those are some of my favorites of things other people have done. And I also will put in links to the show notes of things that I have done over the past 3 years. So,
very anyway, cool. I mean, I really enjoyed playing this. And also, I'm really glad that you brought this whole Nano Genmo, like, into my life. Like, it's neat to be aware of this now. Because NaNoWriMo is a thing that you look on in a distance and go, hey, people are participating, they're making the novels. I'm not gonna read any of those novels unless they get published or there's something really good about them, or whatever. But if people are generating things, there might be something else there for me to look at or be more interested in. I'll be maybe more closely follow along what gets produced each year.
Yeah, and you can look at the output, and you also look at the code, and you know, if you're interested, to find out how something got done. And so after, I was gonna wait until after we record this, but before you post it,
I'm streaming it live.
The code. Yeah, okay, great. I'll upload the book and the code. But if you found any major bugs or something, I wanted to fix them before.
And again, I think I found two bugs that are not bugs because I've never found a bug. So what are the odds? But I found things that I think are bugs, and you'll explain to me why they're not. That's how these episodes go every time.
Probably bugs.
Yeah, you're supposed to release the thing you generate and also release the code. So
yes.
Is the HTML resulting thing the code, or is the stuff you said to ChatGPT the code?
Well, the code is Python.
Okay.
That ChatGPT generated. The first time I tried to do it with ChatGPT, it suggested that it could just do it. It could just generate it without giving me the code.
Oh, you were just saying, give me a 50,000-word thingy,
right.
Just go do it.
You know, we were talking, I mean, this is a process that, like I said, it took days, but I would describe something and it would update it. And it got too big, it got very quickly, got too much for ChatGPT to handle and to keep it all in its mind. It started forgetting things and it started making mistakes, and it was frustrating. Mm. And also, before this, I want to say that I talked through the flow of the game with ChatGPT. I said, I have this general idea about you're walking a dog, and give me some ideas. And I have one idea for a puzzle, and it came up with another idea for a puzzle. And it eventually came up with a flow chart of just like, okay, here's what you need. Here's the order that things are going to happen, and here are the things that are preventing you. So, I mean, it really helped me think through the process of getting through the little simple puzzles. And then it started actually building the game, and that's when things started to fall apart, because it got too overwhelming for the large language model. And then I was just like, okay, we're going to start over. We're going to do this in Python. We're going to do it with modular functions that I run on my system. That way it didn't have to keep track of everything. I could say, okay, now we're working on the function for city descriptions or whatever.
Right.
And then it started really to move forward, and because it didn't have to keep track of every little thing I did. So anyway,
I've come around to the idea that you should get top billing. That does make sense, because it couldn't have done it without you. You are doing all this, and you're using it as an assistant to say, do these little building blocks, give me the Lego pieces.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I begrudgingly admit that you wrote this thing.
Thank you. Finally.
Do I have other questions? I mean, you're an animal person, as we established early on. You got 10,000 animals and you're building an ark or whatever. Nobody knows why. Yeah. Was this based on a real event? Was it just based on you being a dog person? Do you know a dog named Fifi?
I don't know a dog named Fifi. I was thinking about what to do for Nano Genmo when I was walking the dog. So it wasn't much of a stretch for me to go, oh, there should be, and I wanted to do see if I could do a choose your own adventure game, which is something I had never done. And it just, dog walker was not much of a leap at that point when I was walking Truman. I made up Fifi.
Yeah.
And then when I asked for the picture of Fifi, the first version, it gave me a pink poodle. I don't remember if I said it was a poodle or not.
What's the name? Fifi. So of course,
I said it was a standard poodle, and it came back pink. I'm just like, oh, perfect. You know, so, yeah.
Cool. Neat. Very neat. Very neat. I'm glad to have played this.
Good.
So are you glad Thank you made for... it? Are you happy? Was this what you wanted it to be?
Yeah. No, this is a... I'm happy with it. Awesome. It entertained me for a few days. I have my Nano Genmo, my Nan Oct Genmo entry done, and I wanted to make something that see if I can make a game that made sense, and it did. And you know,
totally. So, yes. Yep. Done. Yep. Yep. Well, I 100% concur. Cool. Cool, cool, cool. Okay, so let's leave over the fence because I got questions. Okay.
Next episode for real will be Adventureland.
People don't believe us anymore. We said that last time. Whatever.
Whatever.
It'll be what it's going to be, man.
Yeah, may or may not be Adventureland.
Come for the Adventureland, stay for the Fifi.
I know you have finished, and I have to get back to, and yeah. I will do that.
No rush.
Okay, spoiler fence. Say the thing.
It's time for the spoiler fence. So, if you, in fact, we know you have not played this game. Well, I guess no. You could be listening in the future, but if you're listening in the present or the past, how are you doing that? And you haven't played this game, we are about to spoil it. I'm about to spoil it. I'm about to ask questions from the author of this game. He's going to tell the spoils, and I'm going to talk about the puzzles, and we're just going to wreck the whole darn thing. I'm going to bring it down, crashing down around us. So if you want to play the game, you don't want that spoiled. Go play the game first. It takes like an hour. Come on. Pause the podcast. Go play the game. Then you come back, and the rest of the podcast will make a lot more sense because you'll know what we're talking about. That's what I say. So, but the label of the spoiler fence, here be spoilers.
And the other thing I want to say before we do the spoiler fence is if any of this interests you in any way, give Nano Genmo a try. You go to the GitHub, you write some code. It's real low effort, and I have found it a lot of fun over the last few years.
Well, now that there's NaNoWriMo and Nano Genmo, I might create Nano Momo, where you use the month to generate a contest like this that people have to participate in, and every month you have to make 30 of these in a month.
God, have fun with that.
I'll have fun all by myself, sitting in my little chair, doing my generations,
play my games. Flat chair.
Okay, let's spoil your game. Let's wreck it. Let's bring it down.
Spoil. All right.
The hint guy in J10. Tickled me. I liked it. So encountered him randomly, like the first time. When I played my first playthrough, you start in the middle of the northmost street. So you're up on A at like A5 or 6 or whatever. So you're kind of roughly centered. And so when you leave there, you can go east, west, or south because you're at the north end of the grid. I went east to the edge and then just went south. I basically walked around the grid to figure out how big it was. And then, although I kind of anticipated how big it was based on the numbering scheme, I figured it wouldn't go into the negatives, but you know. And so that was my first trek around. So in my very first trek, I went around and I went south to the spoiler guy who said one of the things. I think it was like, feel and shook, check a book. No, it wouldn't have been that one because maybe it was. Did I not deduce the library? Maybe that's why I knew to go to the library right away when I lost my ticket. Because I thought I knew that because I had gone to the library and you can't go in. You have the Fifi with you and you can't enter the library, but you can enter everything else. So when I lost my ticket, I thought it's going to be a place where you have to, as the game maker, have hidden it in a place where I can't have seen it earlier. In my mind, it was like thinking in game terms. Like, it's going to be a place that's unlocked for me now that I've lost my ticket. I'm like, no, I've lost the dog, so therefore I can get, I bet you it's in the library. And I just went straight east to the library, and the ticket was there. So it's like, ha, I deduced my way through your puzzle, mister. When nice. You lose your ticket, it says, oh no, a sudden gust sweeps up your dry cleaning ticket, sending it fluttering to the north and quickly out of sight. The library is to the east. So the ticket goes fluttering north as a big send you off looking at the 80 locations north of you, none of which will have it.
That's wrong. In an early version, it was going north. But I tried to give a ton of hints because I talk about the westerly wind and the direction that the weather vane is pointing. And I really tried to show that it was going to be blowing to the east.
But it says sends it fluttering to the north.
It's wrong and it needs to be fixed.
I was like, come on, man. Flying to the north. Like, yep. But I knew it had really gone east. You can't fool me. You can't fool this gamer guy. I'm on the ball. When you're in the arcade.
Yep, you found the bug. Congratulations.
Ooh, first bug ever. Oh, I'm so happy it's in your game. That makes it all the sweeter.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to dorm and find more bugs.
We'll be here a long time. It's a never ending, it's its own game. Anyway, the guy in the corner, due to the nature of the book, it's just a long scrolling HTML page. Like, you do have access to everything. You can just do a search. You can scroll down. So after I played the game, it was fun to just scroll around and look at things.
Because in a real choose your own adventure book,
you can flip.
There's nothing's keeping you from fluttering through the book, and yeah.
Exactly. And also you can use the back button, and you can bookmark. You can save the game at any point, because if you just bookmark it, you've bookmarked to the link, the little anchor tag link to the exact page you're in, and the page you're on has inherently in it the save state. It knows if you're in this page, this is the item in your inventory. Here's where you are in the game. So you can just save anything. So just like sticking your thumb in a choose your own adventure game and trying stuff, you can bookmark a page and go do things. That doesn't work. You can leap right back to where you were. I mean, I didn't end up doing that, but I kept thinking about how you could game the game. So after the game, I went and looked at the guy in the corner because I wanted to see all the hints, because I knew I had missed something. So there's lost a friend, parks the trend. So that's when you lose the dog, tells you to go to the dog park. Money on your mind, get wet or grind. If I didn't get that one. If I got that, I think it might have made me go to the skateboarders, because grind versus...
Okay, I meant grind at the gym.
Exactly. So, but the get wet tells you, because you get money from the fountain.
Yeah, because there's two ways to get money. You can either find a wallet at the gym or steal it from the.
I didn't. I only got it out of the fountain. I only stole the money. I never found. Wait, you find a wallet and you keep that money? That's the stealing one.
If you go into the gym, you find a wallet, you return it, you get a reward.
Oh, I see. Okay, then that's less just stealing. I just stole it. I just dove into the.
Yeah, no, that's.
And I took people's dreams and wishes away. and I was like, I didn't feel bad about it. That's just the kind of guy I am, Kay. He's just I'm a real bad guy. So your inventory at the top of each page, it's neat that it says what your inventory is. Cause again, it's got to keep track of that state, and you've got the same game, same room over and over again, but with different inventory combinations. So you can have Fifi, you can have ticket, money, flowers, dry cleaning, or I guess empty handed. But you'll never have Fifi. Both ticket and dry cleaning. You got to have some combo. So.
Right, you can't have money and flowers.
No, that's what they keep telling me.
Yeah,
I'd be husband material if I had both of those. when you're in the retro arcade, which I can't believe was a ChatGPT suggestion, I hardcore assumed that's my gosh, it's crazy. Is it just because it's all of us nerds dealing with ChatGPT, so it's got this view of the world that everybody likes retro arcades?
It must. Yeah.
Crazy.
I think exactly it.
If you are in the arcade and your inventory includes money, like the coins you get at the fountain, you can't play video games. What's with it not being able to play? I thought that would be a way to die. You squander your money playing video games, and now you can't buy the flowers. And it'd be too bad for you. You used up your money.
Yeah. Excellent idea. Your ChatGPT didn't think of it, so.
No, that's 100%. I was like, oh, I see. This is a trap. But I was like, oh, I can't play the games. I want to play the games. I want to play the games more than doing the errands for my dear friend. Again, I'm not a good guy, man. I just look like one. So I had other questions for you. I got the good ending, which is when you've done both errands, you've solved both puzzles, basically. You've got the money so you can get your flowers, and you've refound your ticket so that you can get the dry cleaning. So you come back with dry cleaning, flowers, and the dog, you win. Is there a way to go back? I went back right away, immediately died, where you come back having done nothing. So you have the dog. Mm-hmm. And I went back without the dog. I went lost Fifi and then went back. Do you get a partially good one if you come back and say I've got your dry cleaning, your flowers, but I lost your dog?
You can do all the errands in the world, but if you don't come back with the dog, I mean, you're
okay. I wasn't sure if they say, but
you've lost the game. No, that's all he really cares about.
I would assume that was the case. But
yeah, if you come back with the dog, but only one of the errands, then. Like you said, he's like, okay, well, thanks. I guess the dog's safe and those flowers are nice, but you know,
I liked that with the you kind of get to see how, like, when you look at it as a game, you get to kind of see how you had to like arrange things. So there's the H was Husky Highway is our windy road. And so it's like your barrier. You can't pass that with the ticket. Like if you go south, the ticket's blown around. And if you get it, you try to go north with the ticket, it's your ticket barrier, essentially. It's always going to blow away your ticket. And so it's neat. There's no way to get around that. And that's how you also ensure that people lose their ticket, because part of this game is you have to lose your ticket. And so you just put up a whole, you know, 10 street wide thing, or 10 avenue wide street that is cross here, the wind takes your ticket. If you got ticket inventory, out it goes. And so it's neat to see kind of the machinations that go in to force the player to lose their ticket.
In an early version, well, in my original idea was there was that H Street, and then all the clues would say that the ticket is blown east, not north. And at the end of that street, on the east end of that street, is where the library was. I mean, the ticket would go straight into the library where you find it. However, kind of a bug I didn't envision is you can go into the library, get the ticket, walk back out to the street, and you'd be back on the street and you'd lose the ticket again.
Oh,
there was no way to get the ticket out of the library.
Of course, it just constantly blows back in.
Right. So I had to go to the library.
That was the other, not really bug, but the other thing I noticed, you can put yourself, if you wanted to, although it's you forcing, you can put yourself in a like a Groundhog Day loop. Because if you're in a winning state, you've got Fifi, you got the flowers, you got the dry cleaning, and you go back up, but instead you go back to like the A, but instead of heading east or whatever to Fifi's home, you head west to the back corner. Fifi runs away again. So you go back down to the dog park, you get Fifi, you go back, Fifi, you just go in a loop between the dog park and Fifi constantly like, got the dog, lost the dog, got the dog, lost the dog, got the... So if you choose not to go home, there is no remembering the state that you've already refound Fifi and she's back at the dog park. If you go back to the dog park, you always lose Fifi.
That's true.
Yeah.
Did you find both ways to lose Fifi? Did you find the other way?
The first time I lost Fifi, I think was at the dog park, because I went around the outside. And so as I came back up north on one and got to the top left corner of the map in my mind, it's top left corner, or northwest corner, I guess, I lost Fifi. And so I just thought of that as the place where you lose Fifi. So when I played the second time, I just intentionally lost Fifi because I'm that kind of guy. What's the other way to lose her?
You take her into the veterinarian's office.
Oh, no. So I didn't enter the vet. I never entered the vet, because when you get there, she's feeling bad and doesn't want to go in. So you just immediately leave the space. Why would I do that to a dog, man? I'm a monster. Right.
When you get there, yeah, she doesn't even want to be outside the vet office. There's a special message about how she... And yeah, but that's the hint that if you take her in there, she's not...
Oh, yeah, sure. I can't take it. Come on. I'm not going to do that to her. So, you know, again, monster, but not monster.
So, yeah, there's two ways to lose the dog. There's two ways to find money.
I never found the wallet. As soon as I found the coins, I kept assuming there's like, I have now have the way. Are there two ways to get your ticket back?
No.
Okay, so it's always the library.
In the library.
Right.
Yeah. Something I enjoyed. Did you go into the clock tower?
I did, and then you get, and it kind of gives you an overview of the city. It's a really neat idea. So it's middle, and you go up, and it says to the north, you can see this, to the northwest. And so it gives you hints of where locations will be. I thought that was a good point.
Yes. That was a ChatGPT idea. And although you would never know it because this is a static HTML file, in the Python code, the locations that you see, first of all, you only see the locations that I made the choice that you only see the locations that you need to know about. I mean, it tells you where the flower shop is. It tells you where the dog park is. It's kind of a hint.
It doesn't talk about the bakery or whatever.
I totally
didn't realize that.
That stuff is generated based on the locations of where those things are. That's not static text. It is generated.
If you move them around, it'll give you the code.
If I decide the library needs to be here instead, the tower happens automatically. The tower descriptions change.
So you could make a version of this game that does generate things in different locations every time it's launched as a start.
Yeah, sure. I suppose. Yeah.
But you have to be really careful with where the wind is. Like you always, but as long as you made sure the the library was south of the wind, you'd be fine. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I just enjoyed that the tower descriptions of where things are happens automatically.
Are there I didn't look at the HTML code itself. Are there any hidden things in there? Any notes?
No.
You know, like stop looking for spoilers or whatever?
No. No. I thought about doing a secret Edward Packard type room of like you're not supposed to see this room, you know.
Well, that was one of my questions. Are there any locations you can't get to, or like is there, because there's so many rooms that you easily could have a few rooms in here that are not places you could actually go. Nope.
Nothing I can tell you about. You'll have to read all 50,000 pages.
I will not. I will get ChatGPT to read it for me and tell me. So it says on page 15,029, which is my ending, my good ending, Fifi's Person's apartment. Again, love Fifi's Person's. Stepping into the apartment, you're immediately enveloped by its warmth and familiarity. The walls are adorned with pictures of various dogs, including several of Fifi in her more playful moments. A cozy couch sits in the living area with a few dog toys scattered around. There's a faint scent of a recently cooked meal in the kitchen, making the place feel even more like home. Arriving back at the apartment, Fifi's owner greets you both with a warm smile. Seeing the dry cleaning and flowers, they express their heartfelt gratitude. I couldn't have asked for more. Thank you, they say. Fifi, excitedly wagging her tail, gives you a loving lick, seemingly thanking you for the day's adventure. The end. That was the good ending.
That was a good ending.
All the rest of them are bad.
All right. Yeah. It's possible... At the very beginning of the game, the very first thing you do, if you go to the skate park, you can lose Fifi. You can play the entire game, do all the errands without Fifi, and then you can go retrieve Fifi at the end and take it. Basically, do nothing for Fifi,
right.
Except for and still win the game.
Oh, and you should get an answer. Fifi looking at you like, what, man? that's it. That's my walk. But Fifi would have had a good day regardless, because when you see Fifi at the dog park, they say she's been the hit of the day and she's made tons of friends and she's had a good time. So I think Fifi would have still had a good day, even if you immediately just took her there and lost her.
She knows how to get to the dog park.
Exactly.
And make friends.
Yeah. Right. I think if you had just given Fifi the instructions to, you know, get some money and tuck the ticket in her car, Fifi could have just done that, and you just should be able to just wait. One of your options could be to wait at the steps of Fifi, and then Fifi would eventually come back. If you click it 400 times, Fifi will come back, flowers in her mouth, dry clean hooked on her collar, and you'll go inside and Fifi will give you a little wink like our secret.
Yeah, right. That's it. That's my silly little game.
Fifi's Big Adventure, named after Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, and I wasn't sure if that's because Fifi and Pee-wee kind of sound the same.
Yeah. Thought it sounded like. Any other questions, comments, or spoilers?
I think we spoiled everything. Made a map, my little 10x10 grid. I, after playing everything, looked at your map, and it just aligned with my map, except mine wasn't color-coded, and yours was, fancy map guy. This game 100% can be played without the map. The map's fine, but the... it's not like it's difficult to find locations. There's not like a secret passage you have to open up or something. So it's nice to have the map, I guess, so people can just jump right to things. But it worked perfectly. I played the first time in Safari. I played the second time in Chrome. I mean, it's just HTML, so it should just work. But no issues that way.
Good. Did you go into the church, the sanctuary?
Into the sanctuary thing? I did indeed. I went into everywhere, except I never went inside the vet because I was with Fifi. Then I got the dry clean ticket from the library like right away, so I knew I just needed them to solve the money problem. And I didn't think I could go to the church and try to take money out of those little past things to give me another way to get money.
No, I didn't do that. You are a bad person.
You should have collaborated with me. I'd put in way more ways to die. You should find a dog that looks similar enough to Fifi that you think you can pass her off and bring her back and they don't notice. And you got to instead get another dog, get it dyed pink, you teach it some tricks, get it to answer to Fifi, and then you take it back and you also get a good ending. You should be able to do that.
You can do that. You may do Fifi's Big Adventure 2. And
I guess I got like 26 days left in Nano Genmo.
Yeah.
Or infinite number of days if you go by the way you play it.
Right. That's true. The every every inventory item at this point that I would add doubles the number of pages. So,
oh, of course, yeah, because now you have to redo everything other that you might have that inventory item. Now you've got right. the yeah. color or whatever.
Because there's
right?
18 versions of every page, and if you have a new inventory item, all of a sudden there's 36 or whatever.
And you're complaining about that because you write all that text. Oh, wait, no, you don't. So no. What do you care if it doubles the pages? Get ChatGPT working. Anyway, I liked it. I'm proud of you. Good. I think it's great. Well done, you.
Thanks. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thank you for testing it.
100%. I found a bug. I'm
you
thrilled.
Did. I'm going to go fix that and then post thrilled. It to share with the world.
And they'll deny that it was ever there. Said, always said this. What are you talking about? Anyway, it was great. Well done. Thank good. You. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's it. We done? That's I think it. We're done. We're done. That's it. Pfft, whatever. This has been Eaten by Grew, the interactive fiction podcast, and also Choose Your Own Adventure podcast, apparently. If you want, you can send us feedback, grew@monsterfeet.com. Tell us how you did with Fifi. You can reach out on Mastodon, where we're both on the oldbytes.space instance. So he's Savitz at oldbytes.space. I'm Carrington at oldbytes.space. That's really awkward to say. Get your act together, Mastodon. If you want to help other people find the podcast, which you do, we'd appreciate it if you gave us a 5-star review. 5 stars, baby. That's how you tell us you love us. Review us on iTunes. Why not? You got nothing else to do. The show notes and such can be found at monsterfeet.com. And thanks to our dog, MC Frontalot, for letting us use his song as our theme tune. Next up is, if you believe us, Adventureland by Scott Adams. We'll see. Thanks for podcasting with me, Kay.
Thanks for podcasting with me, Carrington.
Okay, see you next time.
Bye.
Oh no! You have walked into the slavering fangs of a lurking Gru.
So, what have you done in previous times in this nano gen?
I put links in. Into the notes, let's see, because I was like, what did I do? The first year, I did a thing called 51,300 baby names, and this was based on something an idea I stole from Beagle Brothers. They had a little one of their silly little programs was called 100 Names for Baby, and I think it was in a program called Beagle Bag. And
I remember the Beagle Bag. Yeah, I never had it, but yeah.
I remember playing as a kid. And it turned out just goofy names for baby names, but it always ended with George. It would just let me, you know, just come up with just like nonsensical names. And then the last one was always George. That's exactly what I did. But I had to do 51,300 baby names in order to get over the 50,000 word minimum limit.
And then did it end in George?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well done. Yeah, and that was a little Python program, and I just it was my thing. Actually, that same year, my first year, I did a book called 165 Days of Christmas.
Like the 12 days of Christmas, but just spread out to that many.
Yes, but I don't remember exactly how I did it now, but I found words that worked both in the gerund form and the person form.
Like Piper's piping, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so the sample that I posted was 12 paddle steamers paddle steaming, 11 effusion meters effusion metting, 10 biographers biographing, 9 remanufacturers remanufacturing, 8 trend spotters trend spotting, 7 stress busters stress busting, 6 sun worshipers sun worshipping, 5 golden rings, 4 scintillometers scintillometing, 3 air conditioners air conditioning, 2 disco hexasters disco hexasting, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Hilarious.
That was that. I had found out after I posted that someone else years ago had done a very similar thing. And he had also come up with 165 as like the number of days you had to do in order to reach the word. So that was funny.
That's funny.
in 2021, I did something called A Finite Number of Monkeys. It was a Python program that did it. There's a target paragraph that the monkey needs to match, but the monkey can't read. He starts by typing random characters. If any of those characters are in the correct location, he is alerted. The next attempt, he'll leave the correct characters in the correct locations, randomly typing everything else. Over time, he figures out the target paragraph.
That's how I solve Wordle.
And in the version of the story I posted, the monkey finishes the job in 750 attempts. But I ran the program 150,000 times, and the monkey's fastest time ever was 315 attempts, and his slowest time was 1,500 attempts. So, and you can see the sample. It's tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in its petty pace. That's the target paragraph, but it's filled with wrong characters, and then there's that paragraph, and it says a little bell went ding, and the monkey received three treats, which meant that three random characters were in the right place. So
nice.
And then in 2021,
wait. So if the monkey does it and gets one character right the first time, monkey gets a treat. If the monkey does it and gets now two characters, they add one more. Do they get one treat or two treats?
I think you only get a treat. You only get a treat for new.
Oh, I was going to say, because then the monkey is going to really try to make as long as possible, so you get retreated for each one you get.
Right. No.
The monkey is guessing semicolons a lot to make sure it does fit. Monkey's really big into the interrobang. Monkey wants treats.
In 2021, I did the 1982 Fosumer Electronics Show product catalog. I would like you to look at this one.
Okay, back to show notes. Here we go.
You can click the links. Either look at the two samples, or you can download the whole PDF. So I took pictures of real products from old terminal teletypes and terminals and things, and I came up with this catalog of products available at this CES type show, and every one of them has specifications, including the manufacturer, the model name, and the printing speed, and the weight, and the price, and what booth number to find it at, and key features, and
this is great. Holy moly.
And sample output
works with software now legal.
I mean, just so there's you know, many, many products with pictures and stats and how you can get them. But they all have a picture with text thrown across it, like, you know, back ordered or extra processing or now with software.
This is hilarious. I'm looking at the final catalog, which is available on archive.org.
And it was all like randomly generated. Like I had a bunch of prefixes for company names, you know, cyber and micro and that sort of thing. And then postfixes for company names, you know, like Omicron and Gigaist and whatever. And then it crams them together and comes up with.
Hilarious. Oh my gosh. This is very funny. The Megasoft Webcam 4700. It's got blinking lights.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. I see this Nano Genmo. It's just, I'm very happy this exists. I'm very happy I now know about it.
And this is just me. And I am not the most creative or talented person doing Nano Genmo. This is just my goofiness. There's other people doing interesting things. And the other, I did one more, I think. In 22, I did, you might want to look at this one too, Broken Computer Games. And
oh my gosh, it looks like I have that book.
Yep, it looks exactly like Dave Al's Basic Computer Games book. And what I did was I would take two programs from Basic Computer Games, randomly mash them up, and then run them. And if it created any interesting output whatsoever, it got in the book. So there's the program code, which doesn't make any sense because it's two different programs smashed together. and often the line, the basic lines would overwrite each other and things. And then there's the sample output, just like in the real book. So, and I use all the same fonts and stuff, just because I'm a nerd.
This is great.
The cut. So it's called Broken Computer Games: 201 Awful Games to Debug on Your Home Computer. Each complete with programming and sample run.
I'm looking through these things, and the some of the code is ridiculous because it's like, well, why would that be there?
Right. No, the code doesn't make any sense, and sometimes you can clearly see, you know, this is a mashup of tic-tac-toe and some sort of, you know, rocket simulation. I'm like, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, it made me laugh. And
awesome.
And this is not a novel, but here it is in Nano General. Right. So those are the things I've done.
So you're going to keep doing it? You like this enough that you're going to get obsessed every year for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, this is my fourth year, and I'm going to keep doing it until it's not fun anymore. And I might even do another one this month. We'll see. You know, the month has only just begun, and if I have another inspiration, then I might throw another idea at it. Cool. But it won't likely be a game, so.
Sure. Well, this fit our podcast perfectly, so well done you. Way to put all that effort in so we can have an episode. I like it. That's all that matters.
What are you up to this weekend?
Maybe getting some furniture. Or probably not. Who knows?
I'm not going to hold my breath for that.
I'm feeling like redecorating now that I've got a blank slate here, essentially. Now that I'm living in a Taylor Swift song, I might, I don't know, do something, maybe make it funky. I'm feeling 70s ever since I sat in those chairs. But I got this thing about when I sat in the chairs, the cost sealed the deal that I wasn't buying those chairs. I'm like, come on, like that's just insane. Like, you know, do something to help people. Like, don't buy chairs like that. Don't be that guy. But I've got I don't know if I've ever told you, I've got this philosophy of happiness that I call the medium towel that I've been living by since high school.
This is the thing where you only get, you want the towels in the hotels you stay out to be better than the towels.
To be better. If you have the perfect thing all the time, I take everything for granted. It's just who I am by nature. No matter how good it is, I will take it for granted. I will get used to it and it'll just become the regular thing. I'm the worst kind of person. So because of that, I can't have really great things or I'll only have disappointment. I'll be like used to the best stuff and everything else is worse than that. So if something is like a 6 out of 10, it's the perfect thing for me to have every day. So I kind of need a 6 out of 10 chair. So then when I go on vacation or I sit at other people's houses, I'm like, oh, I got that moment of lovely relaxation. I need to have that possibility. So I think I got to go buy some decently, like my problem with my couch was it was a 2 out of 10 couch. I need to get some decently okay chairs, I think. Okay. I think I'm against the couch.
Go to IKEA and you'll get yourself some.
Yeah, I'm an IKEA kind of guy. At the end of the day, I like that Scandinavian kind of look. Maybe, probably do not IKEA, but something like that. You know, Structube, which is like IKEA for people that want to pretend they're not buying an IKEA. That kind of thing. I'll go buy some, and then maybe, I don't know, paint it up all 70s style. Who knows? Who knows? By the next episode behind me, you might see something totally different. Or maybe not. Maybe there'll just be no chair. I'll be like, I lie on the ground, I listen to my records. I tell myself I'm happy. 6 out of 10, baby, for the win. Who knows? That's it. That's all I got.
Okay, good. Yeah. I think you should leave all this in. Even though we said that it was in the podcast, then we talked about all my stuff. We talked about your chair. Leave it in.
Leave it in. Leave it all in. It's all good. It's all gold. It's all perfect. Yeah. Everything we say always is perfect.
This is the reward you get for staying past the spoiler fence.
I give you a 6 out of 10 podcast. We make this podcast this quality so people can appreciate their other podcasts they listen to all the more. We do this for you, dear listener.